Good morning, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is wherever we're at, right? We're here together. God is here. Amen. And God is for us. Hallelujah. And He's moving in the midst of each one of our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We can sense His presence. Yes, hallelujah. So we're going to pray this morning as we get started on in the message. So let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you that your word is quick and powerful. And Lord, you're speaking to our hearts today to surrender everything to you. Everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message this morning is Living as if God is in Control. And Brother Dave and I are excited. We're going to do a four-week series on the book of Philippians. So we'll be doing some teaching, some preaching, like Dave and I call it. And he'll be with us next week. And so this morning, we're going to open up with the first chapter. And so as we look at this book in Philippians, we discover a joyful community that's living together in times of testing. And so, over the next 4 weeks in these chapters, we're going to learn how this community did that together, and also how they dwelt in God's presence in difficult times. And throughout history, Paul's letters to the Philippians has brought comfort and direction to God's people all across the world who are suffering persecution. So this is a great place to start, recognizing that God's people will always face trials and testing. We don't want to hear that, but that's it. You get saved, and it doesn't mean everything's great. Yeah, Nate's shaking his head. But everything's great with you and Jesus, hallelujah. But in this world, Jesus promised us we'd have trouble. So God's people will always be confronted with difficulties. And, you know, across the world, we don't have it like in China or Iran, Iraq. We're not in that kind of persecution. And, you know, to take a look at some of these things, you might wonder, well, why in the world are we doing that? But we just have to recognize that there are times of trial and testing on a personal scale, too. There's things that happen to each one of us during the week, during our lifetime, that is a persecution against us. And the Apostle Paul said, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So in part, Paul learned this lesson in Philippi. And later, when he wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was actually in prison in Rome. And so you might remember when we studied chapter 16 of the book of Acts, how many remembers our series on Acts? Hallelujah. That is the chapter where we learned about Paul and Silas getting cast into prison. And that was the roots, the beginning of the church in Philippi. And do you remember they were cast into prison? And do you remember how they got out? Praising the Lord. Yeah. Praise and worship. And they ended up baptizing the warden in the prison. And in the midst of all of their pain and their struggle, being in chains in the prison, they were still praising God. And it was their deliverance. And so we have to remember, Lord, the Lord will deliver us. But it's like we've got to look to Him for our deliverance, not look at how horrible the situation is or why are they doing this to me? Or why is this going on? It's staying focused on God because He has a greater purpose and there's a greater reason for what we go through. Somebody say amen. Amen. So this Philippian church experienced success and difficulties. And that's okay. In the midst of all of that, have you ever thought about that possibility? You're having great success, but you're also having great difficulties. Sometimes we don't put those two things together because often we think if we're having difficulties, then maybe we're out of the will of God. How many have learned that even in the will of God, you have great difficulties? Come on, wave your hand. We do. In the midst of serving God, we can have great difficulties, yet at the same time have great success. So being right where God puts us, doing exactly what God has called us to do, we can still face persecution, opposition, misunderstandings, and suspicion. And this is true at a larger social level and also on an interpersonal level. So anyway, Acts 16 tells the story of Paul and Silas. And like I said, they were in jail and they were praising God. So even though they were going through a trial, they praised God. Because I believe the key for us to remember, if you don't take anything else away, trials are something we go through. We don't stay in them. We don't stay in the trial. God loves us too much to keep us in the midst of all those difficulties. And he is going to deliver us. And so we just rejoice in the Lord knowing, hey, we're just going through this and we're going to get to the other side. And so that's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of having Jesus on your side, that you're just going through it and he's with you in the midst of it. Because God will never abandon us. He'll never leave us stuck in our difficulties. Have you ever felt stuck? Just a few times, right? In life, we feel like we're stuck. But God is not going to leave us in that stuck place. But in the midst of it, he's doing something deep inside of our hearts to change us, to rearrange some things that are in our heart and mind, and to adjust us for the greater that is ahead of us. Because God always has greater ahead of us. He doesn't give us lesser. He's a God that continues to add to and to take us to greater and greater things. So in the midst of trouble, we can trust him. And you know what? Even if it's because you acted foolishly, even if it's because you have sinned, did you know that God is not going to leave you in your trouble? Isn't that amazing? You know, you'll have friends just walk away from you. Well, too bad. You asked for that one. Have fun. You know, that's the attitude of the world. God is not like that. God is not like man, and he doesn't lie, and he doesn't leave us, and he just doesn't just suddenly just throw us to the side and be done with us. Even when we messed up, God is there. And I love that, because in your trouble, God is always there. He doesn't abandon his people. So the church in Philippi was born out of persecution. And it took root in this Roman town 100 miles away from where Jesus lived and ministered and was resurrected. And this tells us that the good news of the gospel is not a Jewish thing. It's not a Roman thing. It's a God thing. Yeah. And it's offered to people all around the world. So the church in Philippi was prospering and it was very healthy. It was in a different season than what we read about in Acts 16. And they were a thriving community in their home city. They're a community that looks after the welfare of others and people far away who may have had some kind of a need. And Paul is one of those people. The church in Philippi was taking care of him while he was imprisoned in Rome. And that's what he's writing from Rome to the Philippian church. And they had sent him a gift of money, and a member of their church went to help him. Because when you were put in jail in that day and time, if your family and friends didn't come take care of you, then you didn't have anything. They weren't going to give you anything. Somebody had to bring you what you needed. Can you imagine that? Think about that. They just put them in jail and left them there and left it up to the people that love them to go and take care of them. And that is what was going on. So Paul is writing this letter inside a prison, and he's encouraging those outside of prison. And this letter is a model for how to live during tough times. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to learn these things. Today we're talking about we can learn how to live as if God is in control. Next week is we can learn how to live as servants. We can learn how to live a life of loss. And our fourth session, which will be at our carry-in down at McNaughton Park, is we can learn how to live a life of generous friendship. Amen. So today we're going to take a look at our first point is prayer and persecution. And we're going to read from Philippians 1:1-7. If you have your Bible or if you've got it on your phone, we're kind of doing old school. We haven't gotten sync yet with everything. Our progress is coming at the office building, administration headquarters, but we're not connected to our NAS, which holds all of our information. And we don't have a phone that rings yet. So, but we do have internet. So that's our progress last week for, I think it was $1,200, you know, from the IT guys. They're trying to figure everything out, and everything is wired, but they're just trying to figure out how to hook everything together. And so I just pray they can do it quicker this week, because I don't want another $1,200 bill. Yes, amen. We agree, right? We agree. Lord, give them wisdom when they come in, and they better show up Monday. We are waiting patiently. So Philippians 1:1-7 says this, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partners with me of grace. And isn't that amazing and wonderful at the same time that someone so far away who is in such a difficult situation, difficult circumstances of prison back in that time, was thinking of someone else and praying for someone else. So Paul continues his effective ministry to the body of Christ, even when he was in captivity. And he prays for the people in Philippi, and he instructs the church in Philippi. And let's read on. We're going to read on verses 9 through 11. I think we are. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory of God and the praise of God. So he prays that the church in Philippi will be able to discern what is best for them. He said, I pray that you're going to abound in knowledge and you're going to abound in discernment. That's a great prayer to be praying over yourself and for those you love. We need knowledge and we need discernment in these days. And he prayed that they would be pure and that they would be blameless before the Lord, and that they would be filled with good fruit in keeping with a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. So we're going to go on to number two, God's priorities. And we're going to go on to verse 12. He wanted to teach us to learn how to live as if God is in control. When you live your life trusting in God that he is in control, it is such a witness to everyone around you. In the midst of everything going on, confidently knowing God is in control, and that is your testimony, and that is what you say. You know, regardless how it looks, we're going to trust God. So that's what he's teaching this church. Let's go on to verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. So we learn God is in control, and God he's taking care of things. When we look for God's priorities, Paul tells the Philippians that although there are people outside of prison who are trying to make life worse for him, and they were preaching the gospel with the wrong motive and for money, and they actually thought that that would make things harder on Paul in prison. And that really seems kind of crazy, but there were people that thought they could help persecute Paul in prison by doing that. And then there were those that were preaching the gospel from a pure motive. And it's amazing that Paul didn't criticize that and say, well, that's terrible, they shouldn't be doing that. No, he looked at the bigger picture, because whether or not the gospel is being preached with the wrong motive for money, or if it's being preached with the right mode, it's being preached. Because it's the word. It's the word that has power. It's the word that performs. It's not the person. It's not the vessel. You know, many times we have seen great leaders who have been in great sin but have done great works. Why? Because the word of God works. You know, if it was all dependent upon us, then not much would happen, right? But the word of God is the glory of God. He created the worlds with his word. And so his word is more powerful than what we can even really imagine or think. But we need to learn to use it. Sometimes it says, oh, you know, we want to pray the word. You hear it all the time. Pray the scripture, pray the word. And it's just like, oh, yeah. Can you give me something else to do? Because I've done that and it isn't quite working. Well, then do it again. Because that is what we have. We have the word of God. It performs what it's sent out to do. And it will take care of your situation. And it's just praying it, decreeing it, declaring it, regardless of how it works or looks, we know it's going to work. Because God's with us. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So Paul says that his situation is turning out for the advancement of the gospel. That was his whole thought. He rejoices that the good news was being preached, whether it was with good motives or bad motives. And so he understood his imprisonment is for the sake of the gospel and does not ask, God, why is this happening to me? Why is all this going on? Because he understood God is in control. Confidently trusting God is in control. And, you know, it's easy to agree with, you know, religious statements. God is in control. But the result of saying God is in control is that I am not in control. So it's actually liberating to realize God is in control. You know, I can just let go of the reins and let God. Let go and let God. How many have heard that? Yeah, how many have tried that? And sometimes it's not really easy. You grab a hold of it again. Let me help you out, God. You know, I know you're in control and you're almighty, but hey, I'm going to help you out again with this. So letting go and letting God. And this is how Paul viewed all of his circumstances. You know, and sometimes we're surrounded by people who operate from ill motives, and sometimes people are just downright mean. Have you ever met any mean people? So I think our natural reaction would be to cry out and say, Lord, intervene. Deliver me from this, God. Stop these people from harming me, from talking about me, from irritating me, right? Yes. Take care of it, God. But in the midst of all of Paul's situation, he's just simply trusted God because he was looking at the greater good. Because God's kingdom to Paul was his highest priority. And that's what it has to be to us, God's work in his kingdom. And when our priorities align with God's priorities, then the result is peace and joy. Even in the midst of difficulties, if we're lined up with God, even if everybody's coming against us, even if everyone thinks we're wrong, but we're lined up with God, you can have a peace and a joy in the midst of all of that. Because when we get out into the world, we know they are totally opposed to Jesus Christ. They are totally opposed. And they're so blinded. And looking at people with more compassion, how sad that they're so blinded. They are so blinded by their own selfish needs and by what they think is right. You know, if we all walk after our own way and make our own laws, we can't do that. No one can survive with that. And so Paul was in the midst of teaching the church in Philippi that you can have peace and joy even in the midst of all of your trouble. And so the third thing is trust God for the outcome. And we're going to take a look at verses 19 to 26. And it says this, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Okay, so this is all going to turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. He's talking to those that are praying for him, and the supply. You know, Jesus gives us a supply of his Spirit to get us through things. You've got enough supply. Tell someone, you got enough supply. He gives you enough supply to get through what you're going through. So according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. For me to live is Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Did I skip something here? Let me go back. Yes, I'm not sure that my translation says that. I'm going to start again. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing shall I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Christ Jesus by my coming to you again. So whether in his day or in ours, these are verifiable facts, that sorrow and sickness and suffering are a large part of this world. But God shows his glory by bringing outcomes that are greater than any sorrow, any sickness, and any suffering. There's an early church father, his name was Tertullian, and during the time of his life, there was great persecution with Christians, and he said the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. And so he saw beyond that to the greater good of the kingdom of God. God always has a greater purpose, a greater outcome. So this is part of the glory of God. In the middle of people's weaknesses and in the middle of wickedness, God is in the world working his wisdom for our good and for the good of generations to come. Are you glad to hear that? And I absolutely believe that. Absolutely believe that. So in the first chapter, Paul was not even concerned about his own personal outcome. He says, I can die and be with Jesus, or I can live, which will mean even more fruitful ministry later in my life. Paul does not see his life as something to be preserved, but rather as something to be spent in the service of God's kingdom. So this is a part of the teaching in this chapter. So thinking about it, how do we look at our lives? And if you're afraid of death, why would you be afraid of death? You know, if you die, you're with Jesus. And some people say the sooner the better. Or if we live, our lives are an opportunity to co-labor with God and to bring blessings to others. And that's what we see Paul doing in this chapter. And the fourth thing that he really highlights in this chapter in verses 27 to 30 is to receive suffering. And so let's read that. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. So we're not asking anyone to go looking for suffering. No one should harm themselves or be irresponsible. Instead, we order our lives in the way God teaches us to do. But if suffering comes as a result of our way of life, and if our way of life is pleasing to God, we should learn how to submit to the will of God, even in suffering. And so in these last verses, Paul teaches us that we go through trials together. It's an expression not only of our individual confidence, but our confidence as one people. You know, I love this group because when someone is suffering, when someone's in need, when someone has a prayer need, we're ready to pray. We're ready to pray, you know, just get it out there. We missed Carol. She's on her cruise, and she couldn't, like, send out the prayer requests. But we still got them around to each other, Carol. But it's wonderful to be able to pray for one another and lift one another up and stand together. We're not going to make it if we don't have a group of people praying for us. And so what happens when we suffer together, you know, usually we become stronger. When we partake of that, you know, we mourn with those who mourn. And we rejoice with those who rejoice. We become stronger as a community. For it's granted to you not only to believe, but to suffer with him. And that you in that verse is plural. It doesn't mean one you. It's all of you together. So when one suffers, we all suffer. And this makes perfect sense. You know, it seems like when there's a need in the community, when someone is suffering, when there's been some type of disaster or a school shooting or something going on, you see the church often rising up together at all denominations, you know, just pouring in resources and going to help people recover. And that's when we're our strongest, and that's what the church is called to do. So maybe we should ask ourselves this question: why wait until tough times to draw together? Why wait until tragedy strikes to show our love and care for those around us? Why wait until things are bad in order to show the love of God? You know, we can be a church that lives in the community and demonstrates community right now, even in the moments of peace and prosperity. Amen. So this is the lesson from Philippians chapter 1. Individually and as a community, we can demonstrate that God is in control by living as if God is in control. So our actions are actually the message to people around us. Our lives individually and corporately become the good news of Jesus Christ. We can demonstrate to those that are watching that we confidently believe in God and that he is in control. control. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for this word that's gone forward today. I thank you, Lord, that as we go through this book of Philippians, Lord, that it penetrates into our heart. Lord, that you mold us and make us and shape us and change us, Lord, to be more like you, to have a deeper understanding of our role in the community. And especially, Lord, since we've moved, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've given us, Father, connections in the community that will never go away. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. You know, we used to do a work day at church, remember? We had a work day. And so I want to get out to the community, to some of those that we support. You know, we send gifts every month to, and find out what the needs are. Because we can take that time and we can shift that to go and help someone, an organization in need. Because they're always in need of volunteers, right? Yes. And so I was going to go down to Faith Mission and see what's going on. I mean, often they have openings where we can go in and do a service, but even beyond that, sometimes some physical labor is just needed in some places. And helping clean, helping stock shelves, whatever it is. Leonard goes down to the community bank, community food bank. Yeah, and helps stock shelves, helps unloads trucks and things like that. There's always a need. There's always a need. We can be Jesus's hands and feet and get out into the community, meet people, and help these organizations that we've been sending money to, right? And actually get in there and find out what's going on in their organizations and help them out. And so thank God that, you know, we're almost 1 week out from selling the building, and closing last Monday went well. Everything fell into place. And so we're thankful for that. We closed on the building, we bought our office building, and we bought our parsonage. And so everything happened at one time. And so we thank God that it was just one stop. It was one stop shop. I was glad for that. Meridian Title is a great company. We've worked with them for years. And they had everything just ready to roll. So we thank God that all of that went well. And we're 1 week, almost 1 week out. And we're still moving things. This last week, Angela and Cindy and Pastor Vanessa and the girls and I think that was who did most of the work, moved a lot of the boxes so that Carol would have something to do when she gets home. We moved the office boxes. You know, it's amazing what we're finding in boxes. So we got a lot of things moved, but this next weekend, we should move the rest of our items out. You know, they said we could have 30 days, but I think they're a little anxious to have every room. And so it's not a whole lot left to move, but there are the larger things that we need help with and need to rent a truck. So my question would be, is next Saturday better than next Sunday? After church, would you rather do a Saturday or a Sunday? Because we can't do this by ourselves. We're going to need help. So some of you are after church on Sunday. How about Saturday? Raise your hand. You're all for Saturday. Okay, after church on Sunday, raise your hand. I think the after church on Sunday had more hands than Saturday. Yeah, it's the heavy stuff that we need some
maneuvering.
Yes, yes. Okay, so let's plan next Sunday after church. Do you want to all go out to eat and then meet at the church at a certain time? Or do you want to just go straight there? What do you want to do?
I say we just go straight there and get it
loaded, and then we can all go out to eat. Oh, yeah, we could. We could
order pizza and eat it at the office. That would be fun. Okay, so let's plan next Sunday. And thank you so much, because we can't do these things alone. But we've put a big dent in it this week. And I got to tell you this, Angela, Cindy, and I moved some stuff, and we got to the office, to the back parking lot, and these two little boys come riding through on their bicycles. And I said, hi. And they stopped for a minute and said, hi. And they said, what you moving? I said, well, we're just moving some boxes and things in. And they said, well, can we help? And I said, sure, you can help. So these two little boys, well, one was larger than the other. Amos is about this tall. And Levante, right? Kevonte was a little guy, but man, was he strong. I mean, he's grabbing boxes out of those cars and just carrying them up there and putting them in. It was so cute. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord, because we were like really tired for sending these two little boys to help us. But they live on the street back behind us. Back behind, you can see their front door from our porch. And so what a blessing. And then, you know, I asked him, well, can I pray for you? And they said, well, sure. And so prayed for them, and then they give me a big hug, and off they went. And so they were our little God-sent helpers this week. So God provides. But